Four and a half.
I call the April 5th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayor.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here.
Quorum, please rise, join the pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get started tonight, I just want to acknowledge the passing of Phil Nickerson a couple of days ago. Phil's been a longstanding, active member of the community. He served on our Parks Commission for forever. He was also a member of the Board of Education for a fair amount of time. And he also helped out with civic celebrations, I believe, active in the Lions Club, and he passed away 2 days ago. So if I may have a moment of silence in memory of Phil. Thank you very much. With that, we move on to item A1. We did roll call. We do have a quorum. Item B is citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak? Mr. Lewandowski.
Anybody living this 8030 West Winston Way? Is this thing working?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I just want to make a statement in regards to the improvements of Pleasant View Park. We spent $500,000 to build it, and now we're going to improve it? I just can't believe this. What's going on? The main problem I've got today also is the ballpark comments and that, what do you call it, that big jump from the sidewalk to the road of about 2 feet. If that's going to be a permanent setup, I think that somebody in the DPW should be putting up a orange snow fence up there so that people don't fall off or the children don't fall down that hole. I have been in contact with the JSD people and Graffit is a John Kissinger, and to my surprise, I met his dad in 1952, and when I left, his dad was a plant manager. And Mr. Kissinger is well aware of the problem, and he said he was going to look into it and get back to me. Now, this is the kind of things that some of our people and our aldermen should be doing to check why this thing still exists with that 2 foot. But I asked for engineering 3 times now for cross sections and dimensions of how big a drop that is. And I looked at this thing. I need to have it under a microscope or something. I can't read it. It's too small of a print. Besides, it's not what I asked for. I asked for a vertical and longitudinal dimensions, and that's not what's here. It's ridiculous. This is what's going on with this engineering department. In fact, we had a big problem with this stormwater grates. Most of the people didn't put that new ones in. I see that 92nd Street now is finally putting those bicycle capability storm sewers. But it is, I'm asking again, this Common Council, what are you doing to change the front entrance to Mike Zimmerman's building? Somebody approved it. And the last guy to approve it is him. The mayor approved it. And you people can change it right now. Stop it and put some money back in there and correct it. I look at that and I say I can get somebody to fix that for $1 million. To rip it up, build it up, and get rid of that. And you people aren't doing it. I'm ashamed to even come up here and waste my time when we got an engineer like that, we've got a mayor that allows this to happen, and we keep spending money at the Rock, and we're tearing it down. It just doesn't make sense. One section goes bad, and you're putting our money back into the Rock. Shame on you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor.
Someone's gotta. Nobody has to. Alderman Nelson.
Well, Mr. Lewandowski, to correct you, okay, and that's about as kind as that's about as kind as I'm gonna be, to correct you.
Mr. Lewandowski, have a seat, please.
To correct you, sir, we are working on it. This is a Board of Public Works project, and I've met with the city engineer out there 2 weeks ago, and there is work and plans in place, and we're working on fixing it. Okay, so that's what we're doing. It's not being ignored. Okay? So you're clear on it.
I can only say thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
But I don't know this, and there's nothing being published, and the DPW, when I go up there, they don't want to let me talk. They cut me off all the time. This is ridiculous. I belong to the city.
I got you, sir. I just answered your question, though. All right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
I want to talk about this one, too. I just want to say that our city engineer does a fine job. And does a good job. I don't think he should have to sit up here and be
killed.
Well, thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anyone else? Any other citizen wishing to speak? Seeing no one else rise, I will close the citizen comment period. Move on to approval of the regular meeting minutes of Commons Council meeting on March 16th. Any additions or corrections?
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Barber and Alderwoman Hanneman. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We have no public hearings. Organizational business is a number of appointments. Any wish for separate action?
Move to approve.
Second.
Mayor and Andrea, Madam Clerk, roll call, please. I get it.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye. Motion carries. 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Move on. No letters and petitions. Move on to routine business. Item G1 is project update for Ball Park Commons. Mr. Zimmerman is joining us via Zoom. Good evening, Mr. Zimmerman.
Okay, let's just do a quick audio test. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, terrific. Thank you, Common Council. Just as a reminder, last time I gave an update, I think it was late fall, prior to the new year. So I'll keep to the same structure, which is infrastructure, and then I'll just sort of go piece by piece, and then I'll open up for questions and answers. So in terms of infrastructure, so there still is some work still to be done on infrastructure. We are assembling a bid package for the remaining work, which, at a very high level includes the final lift on Ball Park Drive, Old Loomis Road, landscape, and then miscellaneous punch light list items. So we expect to hire that company in May, and then we wanted to make sure that all of the major construction was done with Vila Village. So we anticipate that the work will be done by fall of 2021, which also includes all of the agreements and paperwork to transfer, the road and everything else over to the city. I guess additionally, since last time we met, the city staff and the development team, we met, and we also developed a master punch list, which, are those things that bring us to completion, and then what we do is we update that on a monthly basis. So we're really close on infrastructure. Hopefully we're done and done by, late summer, early fall. New perspective, senior living. So the last report out had occupancy, if you recall, which was the fastest to 50% in New Perspective Senior Living company history. And then it continued to outpace, even though January and February, they tend to see low numbers, which is, pretty typical. So occupancy right now sits at 60%, which again is ahead of schedule. The bi-season, though, however, does start now and then runs through September, just to give people kind of a context of how new perspective works. So there are 20 planned move-ins that will occur between now and May 1st. And they're still expected to be at 92% occupancy in less than 18 months, again, which will be a company record and also an industry standard for stabilized communities. Also, just in terms of the COVID component of this, 98% of residents have been vaccinated and then 65% of staff, respectively. Vila Village, so construction remains, again, ahead of schedule, and the final building is expected to turn over on May 1st. Leasing activities continue to surpass expectations. As of the 5th, the property was 74.24% leased. That's, again, 20%, almost, or actually 21%, better than projections. Current level of leasing was not projected to incur until February of 2022. In terms of rental rates, they've been increased each month. Right, so not only is activity picking up, but rental rates, we're increasing them. That has increased month over month for the last 3 months of leasing activity. And then lastly, they're leasing, this is a comment from Mendel, they're leasing over 20 units a month, which makes Vila Village the fastest lease up in Mendel history, at least recently in the last decade or two. So bottom line, I would say that this particular component of the development is absolutely crushing it. It's absolutely successful. So it's just really, really great stuff. Office retail, so we're gonna move to the north side of the development. Both build out is down there, moved in. Ortho Laser, which is a new tenant that I think I introduced you folks to, their build out is down there, moved in. They're doing extremely well. Their projections, they're also crushing it. Their patient visits are significant. Parking always seems to be full up here. So they're above their projections as well. We opened the coffee shop, Blend, and that's doing well as well. So overall, that particular building is 100% occupied. I checked in with Wheel and Sprocket as well, and they are exceeding their expectations as well. So I think what this is suggesting is that the fit-for-purpose retail market is working really well up here, which I'll talk about later in terms of maybe, you know, reshaping some of the master plan components. So the Mosh Performance Center, that's the medical office building and that big field house. So the core and shell, that is complete for the entire building. The field house was 100% complete, and we have been holding events every weekend since February 5th, and it's been completely booked since then. So very, really interesting early signs. We've also believe that we're going to turn into an NFL combine center. So there's really interesting components that we believe that this particular component of the development makes it a kind of a national product. Going into the summer, unfortunately with COVID, we're missing some of the robust summer programming. We didn't really plan for it, but there's this huge opportunity around basketball, volleyball tournaments that will happen in 22, which essentially takes the field house and it transfers it to, you know, more court-based products. Other things outside of the field house, the tenant TIs, they continue. So the Exos, their physical therapy and the performance, they expect to move in May. The H2O hydration, the radiology, the IV therapy, and the MOSH component, that is established for June move-in. And then the Fuel Cafe is established for July. So everything from a medical office building, which is the building right next to the field house, should have kind of a midsummer move-in date. We also secured a fitness center that you guys would know the name. I'm going to let them release their own PR schedule, but they signed a 10-year lease. So they are essentially taking a chunk of the first floor and then all of the second floor. So that name will be named later, but they have started the build out. They've signed the lease. They will move in September, October. And then on the third space, which is really all that's available, there's some really interesting conversations going on with kind of wellness, medispa types of products. And then I think just last bullet point on this particular component of the development is that there's an exterior signage meeting this week, Thursday, with city staff. The one thing I did want to mention, though, or just suggest, and maybe Callie, you can help me with this, is if anybody hasn't seen this particular component of the development, hasn't stepped inside of it, we'd love to do tours. I know that we're, you know, limited in terms of how we can do that. I think we have to do one every 15 minutes, but you guys really need to see this. It's got really sort of jaw-dropping components to it. And like I said, it sort of sets us up as a city for products at a national level, like the NFL combine training and other elements. So I would invite everybody to come out, do the tour. Maybe Callie, you could help sort of facilitate that. Okay, moving to the stadium. So 2 weekends ago, it was sort of not talked about, but UWM had their season opener. It was a cold day, really cold day, but they had close to 400 people in attendance. They swept Fort Wayne Purdue, which is a really big milestone, I think, for the development and also for UWM, because they're a significant tenant. But they had their opener, and that's sort of 2-3 years in the making. They also have if anybody wants to check a game out, they come back this weekend. In terms of the Milkmen, spring training starts May 1st. We are also going to be hosting the Winnipeg Gold Eyes for their spring training. They've run into some border issues. So what that means for the city is just more good stuff, more hotel rooms, more spring training games. So again, I think that's good news. Home opener does start on the 25th for the Milkmen. We've also met with the health department. We've got an approved COVID plan, which starts us out at 50% capacity. We also have a number of graduations with other high schools and colleges, 8 of them specifically. That, coupled with other events that are on the drawing board, are in the Franklin Field usage submittal that has been submitted and are being currently reviewed by the staff. I think fireworks is on the agenda tonight, which is a piece of that. Turn the page to Lux Golf. So if you recall, last time I said there's no meaningful updates, largely due to COVID, getting bank debt on that. It has been very, very difficult, but we've made some really good progress since that. So financing appears to be in place. Construction now is planned for late spring. And, you know, the goal is to open spring of next year. So that looks like it's, we've got a couple of letters of intent. We just need to pick the right one in terms of the bank that we want to go with. So that is really, really significant news for the city, for the TID schedule. So, the debt markets are now starting to open up, which is really good signs. Hotel news. So this is sort of good news, bad news. If you recall, the update prior to this was no meaningful updates. But the bad news was we were checking in with the, for context, what we did is we sold the land to a developer in a joint venture structure. That developer was not paying the tax bill. So it was a separate LLC that was set up. They weren't paying the tax bill. They were not returning phone calls. So we had our lawyers jump in, and we essentially bought the land back, put it into a separate LLC, and went back to the market on different hotels. And this is about 45 days ago. So since then, we now have two new LOIs. So we've got two really strong candidates. Went back to the market, and now we just need to pick which horse we want to have. Both are the same product, which I'll talk about maybe at the next meeting. But sort of bad news is, unfortunately got to that point. Good news is we were in a better spot than we are now. And I'm sure that people will have questions on this at the end, so I'll kind of reserve that. But we've got two offers, and we'll probably make a decision on which developer we'll pick in the next 7 to 14 days. Other sort of macro updates, the brew pub has not moved at all. And part of it's probably just the times we live in. But, when we are also sort of thinking about the development, how the office leased up really quickly, and just how the market is shaping this, we're now thinking about that pad, if you will, maybe doing a different use. So maybe a brew pub, may not be a brew pub. We'll come back to you on that once we sort of form a deeper opinion on it. The Milky Way is set to launch its second season starting May 21st. And I recognize that that has to be not broadcast anything other than via AM/FM. The Rock Sports Camp officially opened this past weekend with a sold-out tournament. The entire summer actually is scheduled is substantially sold out too. So we expect another 150,000 visitors that'll come just from that piece of it. The Umbrella Bar is set to open mid-April. We met with the health department to review our COVID plan for all of our products at Ballpark Commons. They've suggested a number of changes. We've adopted those changes. So I think we're good there. On the tourism front, we continue to work with and support the Franklin Tourism Committee. We're excited about, the work that Carrie's doing, excited about her potential, but I'll sort of largely defer to her on those updates. And then as my friend Leroy brought up, we understand that there's issues and concerns around the entranceway, and as Alderman Nelson suggested, working on it. So more to come on that. So I will hit the pause button, but those are the updates for Ballpark.
Questions? Looks like you did a good job, Mike. Okay.
Not one?
Appears not.
That's terrific.
So you're now excused. Have a nice evening. Thanks. Okay. Last chance. He's gone. Okay, G3 is a resolution accepting water main easement for Strauss Investments. G2. Why am I ahead of myself? This is a concept review for Bear Boomtown LLC, in this case, for condominiums on Ryan Road, between Ryan Road and Loomis Road. Who's going to do it? SR?
I'll go. Sure.
Table. Please. And as usual, name and address, please.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great if you don't mind. SR Mills, Bear Development, 4011 80th Street. I think we have some pics coming up here. So this is 18 acres that was part of our original acquisition a number of years ago. We put it on the back burner as we were really focusing on everything south of Loomis, Highway 36. But as the residential market continues to flourish in this economy, we've, in heeding some of the comments and commentary from the citizens as well as elected officials and staff, decided that what would be the best product here would be a condominium, duplex condominium, townhome style, really geared, likely be ranch-style condominiums geared more towards empty nesters, so likely not two stories, but we'll have, it's really a pretty site, and, as we have the 18 acres there, it is zoned R8 right now. It would allow for about 45 units. What we're showing right here is, again, just conceptual in nature, 13 pads equating to 26 units, so significantly less dense. We've chosen to limit the access, so there would be no access point off of 36 and really just access off of Ryan Road. Again, we think from a residential nature, it provides some buffer from the busy highway, and then also we are in adherence with the 800-foot cul-de-sac length, so we wanted to make sure we were able to put something in here, not cram too much in. But it's, it has a lot of wetlands and pond areas in and around it. So we think it'll be a very pretty site. We do have some high wires on the eastern part of the site, but that's just what we have to deal with here to make it work. So overall, we're looking for a concept approval this evening. Again, we can go to another slide here. We have some product that could be, it's just the overall of this site. This is a ranch-style condominium product we have under construction in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So this is indicative of the kind of look and feel that we would shoot for here, but essentially we will create a product specific for this site. So we'll have a number of different models and plans that would fit. If you go to the next one. Maybe one more. So before the landscaping was in, but square footages would range anywhere between 1,400 and 1,650, 1,700 square feet. That excludes the basement area. Many of the basements, because of the topography of that site, we will have the opportunity for lookouts, but walkouts in most, which we find are pretty good. When we can, you know, if we can do a 1,400 square foot first level and then have a walkout, it'll be a very nice product from a price point. We'd expect it anywhere, you know, from the most economical, probably $320,000 for just one side, up to about $380,000 is what we're seeing based on upgrades and fit and finish that the client would want. So we think it'll be a good fit. Altogether, it'd be about $8.5 million worth of tax base. I think it fits with the zoning right now and the kind of the rules and regs that we've gotten it to design the product around. So, yeah, looking for any comments that you might have or thoughts.
Okay, I got to give this at every concept review. Concept reviews allows the common council to offer you a general opinion of where it's going, but in no way will we take a vote or give you up or down, like it or don't. You'll have to determine that on yourself. That's standard language. You've got to do it. Yep. You've heard it before. Questions? Oliver Nelson. Hold on. Push your mic. Push your button. Thank you.
Mr. Mills, thank you for coming in. And just to confirm, because I did a couple calls on this, so low end is 320, high end is about 380. Just ballpark, not holding on to this, but that's kind of the range we're looking at. Mm-hmm. As far as garages, now I'm kind of looking at it kind of warped. Are those two-car garages?
Correct. They okay, all have a two-car garage.
Two-car garage. Thank you. And right now you have a similar product going in Kenosha that you are kind of modeling this after, so you do have a demand. You've done your homework. You wouldn't be where you're at if you weren't. So I have no further questions, and I support it. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I noticed on page 22, that's when you talk about the dwelling units, the 26 units. There's 18 acres here. So what you're saying, it comes out to about 1.7 dwelling units? Is that?
1.7, 1.8, okay. I believe. And some of the acreage, you know, if we looked at it from a gross density standpoint within the R8, it would be about 95 units would be allowed. But because we net out the existing wetlands, so that takes us to, I believe, the 45-ish.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask next, was if the wetlands were included or you had to take that out to come up with that figure.
Yeah, we did net that out. And we're still, you know, if it's 45 and we're at 26 here.
So what's the average you're having between the buildings? Isn't it like 5 feet setback for each? So it's, I mean, you have to have 10?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. And part of it is we're not entirely sure. What we have here are pads, general building pads designated, mm-hmm. and they range anywhere from 60 feet by 60 feet. So the building in front of you here is 68 feet wide and 63 feet deep. So we'll have to have some variations of it, but our pads go from 60 by 60 to 80 by 80, and we still have that necessary setback in accordance with the regs, which I think is 10 feet between the pads.
Could we have that other plan back up that shows the cul-de-sac?
I think that was the first one.
Okay, so that's what we're looking at 1.7 dwelling units per acre.
Correct. So if you look at pad number 13, that's the smallest we have in the upper right-hand corner.
Mm-hmm.
That's 60 by 60. But then if you look at pad number 2, by example, that's 80 by 80. And so the buildings won't be squares or rectangles like this, but it just gives a general dimension that we need to make sure it fits within.
Okay.
And we'll push and pull a little bit too. So for instance, in pad number 12, that's represented by an 80-foot width, 60-foot depth. Maybe there the width is only 70 feet, so it would just give additional room in between the buildings.
Okay. I guess the main thing I want to point out is the 1.7 dwelling units, because I've had some in my district where we've gone way beyond that, and just you can see that these are fairly close together, which is allowed, and I don't have a problem with it, but it's also far less dense in some of the things, so I can appreciate the density that you've worked at here, and I think it works well on that site.
Great, thank you.
So what about the thought about trash receptacles? And the reason why I say this, because I guess who will maintain this street?
So the street, Dan, public or private?
It's designed as a public street.
Designed as a public street, typically from a trash standpoint, we wouldn't look to have any receptacles or any dumpster areas. It would be everybody has their trash and they'd roll it up to the street on trash day, not dissimilar to a single family subdivision.
I live in an area that's very similar to this with one cul-de-sac in, all condominiums.
Mm-hmm.
It's a private street.
Okay.
And with the private street, the homeowners on the end have individual pickup garbage at their driveways. The homeowners coming down into the street have dumpsters. And so there are garbage trucks coming in and out way more than there should be. And then that is, so I don't know who's planning on maintaining the road. And I don't know if dumpsters would be better or individual garbage pickups would be better. But I wanted to point that out because it's been a problem in the past. It seems how this is a pretty much a private road. It seems to me like it would make sense that it shouldn't really be a city road. But that's something I just wanted to point out because there's been a couple of condominiums that they take care of the road to, and even plow it.
Mm-hmm.
So, are we, since it makes mention on page 16 that this site is now within the TIF district of number 6, question for staff, are we still okay with the, I think it's 30% allowed for residential within the TID district, or has that percentage allowed changed?
I can answer that.
Okay.
Unless staff has it. I actually just did the study to make sure.
Okay.
And so we ran the numbers. We're well within the tolerances still, within
okay.
the newly platted residential. It's no more than 35% can be newly platted residential, and we're still significantly under. I think we're in the low 20s, if not upper teens.
Okay. And I also had the two-car garage requirement. So I guess per unit, you required two-car garages, so you're going to have four on each one of those buildings, four garages?
Correct. So that would,
okay.
And we try and get creative, too, where if we can side-load one, and depending on the lot depth and width, we hate having it where you always, you just see nothing but garage doors, so we do our best to make it very aesthetically pleasing.
Okay. Is that something that everybody wants is a two-car garage, or do you want that, or is there a flexibility on that?
Yeah, we found that, we actually, in that SunPoint condominium, which is the example that we have down in Kenosha, we have a four-unit buildings, three-unit buildings, and we have a 9 and a 10-unit building. That's all ranch-style designed, slab-on-grade for older seniors primarily. And in some of the interior units, we actually have one-car garages. And even in those instances, we still find ourselves battling that from a sales standpoint, that typically the consumer is looking for a minimum of a two-car garage. What we've tried to do, oftentimes what we hear is, it's not that I want to keep a car there, I just have all this other stuff that I want to keep there. So instead of doing a third car, which then puts the kind of the proportions of the building out of whack from our position, the way we look at it, that we'll do in some instances, we'll do a double depth of one of the stalls. That way,
okay.
if they're storing whatever it is that they want to store, they have ample room to do so and without making it look like a wall of garages.
Yeah, because what I've seen is the more garage get, the more space it fills up and the cars still end up outside. So you might want to have a provision in your bylaws that says that one car has to be inside.
Yeah, and we run into that oftentimes at the multifamily, the larger complexes, which are fed by a common corridor, so 6, 12, 20-unit buildings, where that's when we really have to mandate, okay, if we have a bank of garages,
right.
you can't use them as self-storage, we really need to put cars in
right.
there. Here it's a little bit more like a traditional single-family subdivision, though, from the standpoint that Yeah, everybody will have a two-car garage, and the only person they'd be backing themselves, you know, blocking would be themselves if they park in front of their own garage. But we do have, you know, the condominium association will have the ability to change the bylaws and update the bylaws as it continues on. So if it's an issue, they can still have the rights and remedies to change it.
And I think the only other thing I had was, have you dealt with the fire department's comments about the water?
Haven't even thought about it until we got through this from that standpoint.
All right. I like the idea. It's nice to give a little bit different options other than just, it's either huge single family or going to apartments. And this is a good in between, and I think it's going to be a market that you're going to do well with.
Great, thank you.
Alderman Barber.
The one comment I have is this particular year with the snow we've been having, and to pick up on the earlier comment, especially in a cul-de-sac, and this looks like a long run of snow that you're going to be pushing all the way down to the bottom to come back up around. Mm-hmm. Where does that snow end up and where does it go? I mean, I've gotten a lot of complaints where they're piling it, not removing it, and those are the kind of issues that I can see might be problematic, so I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, this year certainly, though, any issues with snow storage came to the forefront with all the communities that, you know, as you try and stack it. I think in this instance, you know, we always design an area that you can push snow to that's not going to impede somebody's views nor irritate the neighbors, etc. I think the yellow boxes here are a little deceptive just because those are the maximum sizes. In reality, once you place the units on there, they're going to be significantly smaller than the outside boxes. So we'll designate one, if not two, areas that when the snow trucks, snow plows are coming through, they can push it and make it easy where they can stack the snow, and then it can drain into one of the detention basins or some other spillway so we're not flooding anybody out once it starts to melt. Well, typically we end up, you know, whether it's a public street or a private street, we're not going to look to put it in a dump truck and haul it out of there. I think we've got ample room here to be able to work through that with, the wetlands that we have in and around it and significant amount of green space.
Thank you.
Alderman Hannon, you have a push button.
Thank you. I like the project idea as well. I think it's the right product at the right time. Good location, good use of that property. I am the council representative to the Parks Commission. So your note about connecting to the 116th Street Trail is very timely, as we've been talking about improving and increasing our connectivity with trails across the city. So to that end, I'm wondering, do you own the property just to the right?
We do. So we have up top or down low?
Around the little pond there.
Sure. So we own, there's three single family lots that we went through the process of having a certified survey map so we could carve those off. Mm-hmm. We've been reticent to sell them yet because we wanted to know what we were going to put here mm-hmm. before having somebody come in and buy a home and mm-hmm. Want to make sure it's compatible uses. Mm-hmm. So we do own them right now. We are looking to, we're in the process of marketing and selling those though.
Okay. My only thought was, and I haven't walked the property, but wondering if that would be an opportunity to bring trail back around the pond area for recreation, kind of increasing the amenities for residents in that area.
So the only issue with that, on the step up, I didn't show you.
Okay.
So we have, I don't know if this is completely representative, so that we have the three single family lots. It gets pretty murky back here where there's not a real a clean shoreline per se, mm-hmm. and we don't own some of the other abutting properties to the east, so mm-hmm. we have different ownership here, so we don't have the ability to go all the way around it, but
okay.
And it would be a little, you know, from a condominium standpoint, I think I like the idea of having interconnected trail systems. Mm-hmm. When we get to single family houses, it gets to be a little more problematic if we have an area of public space in the back of their mm-hmm. lot. We've run into problems mm-hmm. with that.
Okay. Thanks.
Anyone else? Alderman Dandridge, push your button.
As I think most of the questions were addressed, I think it's appropriate. I mean, we're seeing the success that's happening with the Twin Dominiums along 76th and near Oakwood.
Yeah.
And I see this as an extension of that thought process. The materials, exterior, I know this is going to go to plan. On there or in Kenosha, are you using hardy plank, aluminum?
It would be hardy board and or LP smart siding, which is also comparable 50-year life product.
Okay. And then on top, that you know, the shaking, is that same material?
Yeah, so we have seen times where certain builders will use a vinyl shank product, right, or the shake product, but it can warp and
correct,
the sun affects it different. So we always just do, if it's a shake or a different kind of lap look, we still do that in a hardy or LP that we do.
And then you're putting dimensional shingles?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, as long as you stay decorative and architecturally appealing. The two-car garage concept is a need. People are downsizing. Mm-hmm. They're looking for it. Some of them are coming from three-car garages. They're compromising with a two-car. Marketability, it's definitely going to help in marketability.
Yeah, that's our thought, too.
I think it's a good project.
Alderman Dandry has a 12-car garage. Well, there was a time. But anyway, relative to private versus public road, I'm going to be adamant that it is a public road. We get into too many arguments years down the road as to why doesn't the city plow me? Why doesn't we fix the potholes? Garbage collection becomes an issue. So I'm going to be pretty adamant about that. And I think we've had that unwritten rule now for, 20 years, Ken, right? Yeah. State Representative Skronsky's here. He's been on the Planning Commission for 34 years. So 39, excuse me. Sorry, Ken. 5 years between friends, right? Relative to trash pickup, that's the city engineer's deal, but dumpsters would, in my view, diminish the value of the property.
Yeah.
And then for snow removal, being on a cul-de-sac myself, roughly I would be building 7 there. That cul-de-sac's probably not going to present much of a problem because you're going to put an island in the middle of it. So the cul-de-sac problem typically happens when there's a spot for additional snow in the middle. So there you go. Anybody else? Alderman Dandria.
The wetlands management, I mean, you're going to have an association.
Correct.
So your wetlands ponds are going to be managed yourself. It's not going to be the city's responsibility.
Correct. The stormwater basins would all be managed by the association. And typically we find that, you know, whether it's, you know, that's not going to be very visible. There'll be a pretty significant berm we're looking to build along 36 just to block noise and traffic to keep it a kind of a pristine cul-de-sac. But, you know, oftentimes we'll put fountains and things in those ponds just because it also helps from an aquatic standpoint. We don't get the algae and build up. But either way, it'll be maintained 100% by the association. The wetland areas, they won't need much attention. But
no,
anything will be the association's responsibility.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Alderman May?
Just a couple of quick things. First of all, on Alderwoman Hanneman's comment about the trail by the pond, I think that's an excellent idea. I understand the side with the single family, but you have the side on the west side up to the pond, correct?
We do.
So I would recommend that you consider strongly putting a trail on that side of the pond. We have another situation in Franklin where a little bit of foresight like that would have created a really great trail around the park, but the condominium association developed and we lost that chance, and we're trying to backtrack now to work that park up, whereas you can start from the beginning and plan to have a trail there, because once the condos are in, nobody's going to want to give that up for a trail.
Sure.
So I would recommend, and Alderwoman Hanneman, I would recommend that you follow up on that with the Parks Commission, too, because, and I can talk more about that. The other
counterproductive to put residential on TIF development, but I think that ship has already sailed here. I am really happy to hear that you're developing owner-occupied developments as opposed to apartments. I would be totally against it if it was apartments. It's owner-occupied. That's a totally different world. So I'm really glad to see that. So thank you.
Thank you. And as it relates to your comments about the trails, I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. And I think that we find that as it's an amenity that brings a lot of value. We'll just have to be pretty thoughtful as to, you know, we don't want to have them too close to somebody's backyard where we get to the public-private, you know, it feels a little invasive. The only other issue, too, in getting down to that pond area is there's all of that green is pretty significant wetlands, and I don't know how we would do that. But with that said, I think there's some other creative things that we can do to have a nice trail system and eventually connect it to the northwest so it can connect up into the existing trail.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, SR.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too, guys.
G3 is a resolution accepting water main for Strauss Investments.
I move to adopt resolution.
Hanneman, D'Andrea. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G4 on page 45 is a resolution to accept stormwater facilities maintenance agreements from Mills Hotel Wyoming, Oaks Estates, Oakwood at Ryan, and TI Investors of Franklin. Oh, one second. Mr. City Attorney, push a button, please.
Recommend if there is a motion to approve that they include subject to technical corrections approved by engineering department staff and the city attorney.
I'll make that motion.
So move.
Second.
Seconded by Nelson, seconded by Mayor. Discussion of the motion, hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. G5 is a result of a survey for potential sanitary sewer for a couple of lots on St. Martin's Road. Actually, a few lots. Mr.
Nope. I'll yield to the city engineer that I was going to make the motion.
Okay. Mr. City Engineer?
We had a pretty good public comment meeting, and folks were very vocal. And you can see the extensive comments. Predominantly negative, so I would suggest the recommendation is that we do not pursue a sewer project here.
Alderman Nelson.
I was going to make a motion for option B as in void.
Second.
Which is to table. Your motion is to place on file.
Right? Option B as in void, no action, place on file.
And that's Alderman Mayer's second.
That is my second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. G6 is a good one. An ordinance to amend the Municipal Code Chapter 80 to create Article 5, possession of wild animals. Wants to do this? I will. I'm certain that we don't want a crocodile or a caiman in the community. This is a response to that. It also takes care of a couple of other issues we've seen in the past. Alderman Wilhelm.
Motion to adopt the ordinance to amend the Municipal Code Chapter 80, Animals, to create Article 5, Possession of Wild Animals.
With the changes by the city attorney.
Correct.
Second.
Question? The city attorney.
How you can give it to Barbara?
A couple of general... Barbara. A couple of general comments. Number one, the subject matter arose... last Wednesday and Thursday, and the draft ordinance was prepared after reviewing other area municipal ordinances. And was sent out Thursday evening to staff. And I do have one proposed amendment, but I thought it, my initial thought on the process was, existing animals listed in the ordinance that are current in terms of possession and existence within the city, and does this apply to currently existing? And so did the research on it as time permitted, and I will, the latest of League of Wisconsin Municipalities legal opinions that I found as close to on point within all of their legal opinions. I'll quote a couple of provisions therefrom. And it referenced a 1936 Wisconsin Supreme Court case that involved the town of Muskego. And it's the name of it was Mueller, M-U-E-L-L-E-R. In any event, the opinion cites that case. And then it goes on to cite the McQuillan municipal law treatise. The treatise notes, thus, if ownership of, this was regarding dogs, if ownership of dogs is recognized as a significant property right, a municipality seeking to regulate that ownership must exercise caution so as not to retroactively deprive the owner of that right, as further expressed in McQuillan, municipal legislation cannot operate retroactively to deprive one of the vested contract or property rights. And then the opinion goes on after referencing again the opinion in the Mueller case, additional support for a conclusion, the conclusion that an ordinance regulating the number of dogs per household need not grandfather in non-conforming uses or non-conforming households may be derived from the fact situation which that opinion addressed. And then it discusses the case in Mueller and concludes, the opinion does, of the league. Thus, while the court did not specifically address the issue of the ordinance having retrospective effect, it apparently found little property right which required protection. It may be the case, however, that a contrary result would be reached if the dog owner were a breeder whose business would be hampered. So in any event, the Town of Muskego ordinance did prohibit keeping more than two dogs over the age of 3 months, et cetera. And the argument involved the appellant keeping more than two dogs prior to an enactment of the prohibiting ordinance. So the league assistant legal counsel in the opinion wrote, in conclusion, I am of the opinion that your proposed ordinance need not grandfather those households which have previously kept more than the number of dogs which would be allowed under that ordinance. So there is no grandfather provision in this draft ordinance before the council, but with the time permitting, et cetera, and I did try and contact other municipal attorneys Friday and today and didn't get through to anybody just to see if there was any experience with this form of wild animals regulatory local ordinance. All that being said, the suggestion would be to adopt the motion as stated in the action sheet, a motion to adopt an ordinance to amend the municipal code Chapter 80 Animals to create Article 5 Possession of Wild Animals and to add at the end of the Section 80 30 Purpose and Application provision before the quote period, close quote, in the draft ordinance before the common council, colon, quote, semicolon, the provisions of this Article 5 shall not apply to and do not prohibit, comma, regulate or affect any meat and slash or food processing use and slash or facility, comma, or farm use and or facility, comma, licensed and or authorized by and having obtained any required approvals therefore, pursuant to any applicable federal, comma, state of Wisconsin and slash or city of Franklin laws, comma, rules and ordinances as may be required, close quote.
Alderman Wilhelm.
There was a lot of discussion in the beginning about multiple dog and cat owners. I didn't see anything that this applies here, so I just, were you just making reference to different laws, or?
That's why I shared with staff. I know the health department, part of this process, on Thursday, the health officer essentially obtained a in writing response opinion which supported this type of local regulatory ordinance, and it was from the executive director of the Milwaukee Area Domestic Animals Commission. So I am not close to being any expert with regard to the designated animals, et cetera, et cetera.
I think I'm just going to withdraw my motion and maybe have it come back with fuller details. At this point, I am withdrawing my motion, though.
Okay. The direct answer to your question is no, it doesn't deal with dogs, it deals with wild animals. But I believe the city attorney was looking to give us illustration about existing animals mm-hmm. and multiples.
So I will move adoption.
Okay.
With the additions and corrections as just explained by the city attorney.
Is there a second?
Second.
So Alderman Hanneman moved for adoption with the changes offered by the city attorney, seconded by Barber. Any other discussion?
Discussion? Alderman. Where did this come from? What prompted this?
There was interest on somebody's part to have a one of the animals listed on this page.
Can we ask whose part? This is the first time hearing, I mean, getting this package.
It would be best not to. I'll tell you afterwards.
Well, I don't know if I want to vote or not.
Well, it puts us, the city, in an uncomfortable position.
So we can do this on Thursday, though?
You want to tell them?
It is what it is.
Okay, yeah, there was a constituent, Mark.
Here.
Mr. Eddy. We keep asking questions that probably shouldn't be asked.
Okay, well,
Mr. Eddy.
Maybe I don't need that answer.
Hold on.
We found out about this on Thursday.
City attorney was offered.
And we're ready for an ordinance already by Monday night?
Without getting into the details of the name of the person or the location specific, it was a person who inquired about owning either an alligator or caiman in a residential neighborhood. I think actually District 1, but I'm not entirely sure of that.
Not too far from my house.
But it was like less than a block away from elementary school. I did ask for input from a variety of sources. I forwarded out to, I think the mayor got a copy, and I think Courtney also got part of it. It went to, I also inquired with the Wisconsin Humane Society and also MEDAC, and Courtney actually got a hold of them, and their quote basically was, we've had experiences with these animals, and other than the fact that they're strictly dangerous, they don't have the brain pan to be domesticated ever. They are eating machines. They are intended to, they eat and they sleep and they lay waste, and that's about all they do. They're geared towards survival, and that's all they do. You can't, it's not like a dog which you can train. There is no training of an alligator or a caiman. And they said the other problem is that when they get bigger, frequently the space that they're inhabiting is not designed for them. So they end up with deformities and other things. So you end up treating the animal poorly as well. So there's two problems. One, they're not safe for human habitation. And two, they're not safe on their own terms in within the human habitat. So part of the reason why this ordinance came about was largely because we're trying to prevent situations like this from happening because of potential interest in owning an animal that you really shouldn't be owning in a residential context. Well, I can't take, I'll leave it to the city attorney on that one.
Anybody else? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Eddy. G7 is award of Pleasant View Park improvements to Western Contractors, $424,527, and the money in the budget is $300,000. Mr. City Engineer.
So we did bid this project out, and they were really pretty tight bids when you look at it, $424 to $550. That was a really pretty tight spread for five bids. Admittedly, we set the budget last year during the budget cycle before we completely scoped out the improvements for the park. So the bids came in. The low bid was $472 for Western Contractors. We discussed some things that we could possibly remove from change order, and this math isn't looking right. Change order deduction of $28,000. I'm not sure. I should recheck this math. Base bid was $424. So there's an alternate bid and base bid. So the alternate bid was $420. I'm sorry, the base bid was $424. The alternate bid was for a stormwater issue that's no longer needed. So that's why the bid came in at $424. Staff, we believe that we could easily remove $28,200 from the bid. Still results in a project of $396,327. Talking with finance, we really weren't sure how to make the difference. So I guess I'd leave it to the Common Council to give us direction.
Alderman Willow.
Well, I appreciate you trying to cut out some of the issues on here to bring this down, but one of the things that has been, I really don't want to see cut out is the landscaping. That has been bare soil for 2 years or more, and we really, it's time to get the lawn in. If we do nothing else over there, I'd like to see it get seeded.
Yes.
The other thing is, people are using the park. One of the things you're proposing is removing the trash containers. Now, I understand you're doing a full dumpster enclosure, and that's the larger portion of that. But as far as, it doesn't say that in your removing trash containers.
So I removed that from Western Contractors' bid. DPW felt that we could do that easily. We basically put the pad in and put a fence enclosure and put a dumpster. So there would be a trash and dumpster. We just wouldn't include that as part of the bid for Western.
Okay, we can self-perform funds it. In a different department to do that then? And DPW staff to do that?
DPW's not creating.
How about we just go with regular brown trash containers for now?
We could.
Why don't we just do that until you have some more funding? And I mean, as long as we have the ability to pick up trash, we don't necessarily have to have that right away. And that'll save your DPW time and that.
Sure.
But I do think we should have some trash. And I don't want to have to wait to get the money for that. But so then I'm okay with that. Aren't there some picnic tables already out there?
There may be. We purchased some picnic tables through some other funds. So we have the tables, we have the trash cans, and benches, I believe, were the other issues. So we were able to fund those through different different pots of money that we had.
Okay, so. And then I noticed there's $5,000 for stairs and railing. Where does that come from?
There is a grade differential between the on the south side of the pavilion, as you would walk towards what would be the pickleball courts, there's going to be a sidewalk there. It was too much to just slope it, so we'd have to put some sort of a rail.
Is that, can stair. It still be handicap accessible then?
I believe so, because there are other ways to get there, but it's not as direct of a route.
Okay, and it's something you really feel you need to do that $5,000 with the stairs then?
We could remove it. It just would, as Mr. Lewandowski pointed out, just because there's no stairs doesn't mean people still won't try to navigate it.
Guys, I'm sorry. I apologize, Alderman Wilhelm, but we're getting into the weeds when the bigger question is this common council going to authorize $100,000 over budget, and worrying about $5,000 here, $5,000 there is not going to get you to $100,000.
Well, I need to, Mayor, excuse me.
You still have the floor, but okay. I wanted to move this along.
I understand that, but I need to know the project well enough to make sure I know, because, you know, the lawn needs to go in the trash cans. I want to make sure. The other thing I'm not clear on the sheet is that the trail is going in.
That what?
The trail that goes off the end of the parking lot to the subdivision that's going to be proposed on the next item. I didn't see that listed.
Let me offer this.
I don't.
Motion to reject all bids and refer back to staff for a rebid for grass, seating, trash containers, and the trail from the pavilion to connect to the developer's trail.
We've put so much time and effort into this.
But you don't have 300,000, you don't have 424,000, and we're not gonna find it, so let's get you what you redo it next year.
What is the price we're, how much are we off? Need
$100,000.
Well, it looks like $60,000 because the $28,000 is coming off, and we've resolved the $28,000. So it looks like $61,000, right?
No. Have a budget of, so the low bid was $424,000. You subtract $28,200, and you get to $396,327. So our budget was $300,000. So you're off $96,000. And
how much will it delay this if we take the mayor's route and reject all the bids and start over?
It's probably about 2 months worth of work.
We've got to have that grass down. I don't really think I want to reject the bids.
If you just need grass, I think we could sow grass and get grass going, but it dumb.
Well, you know, 104,500 of this are the pickleball courts. And I still don't have the question if the trail was there, because you want to just skip the extra parking lot, because it's not completely full over there.
Let me do this again. Let me be real clear. You've got bids in front of you that are legal documents. You either reject them all or you rebid it. You reject them all and rebid it, or you accept one and start going negotiating, which is not proper either. So this whole conversation should have been real easy. Reject all bids and come back with another bid, generate another bid and come back with it for grass, for the trailhead, and for trash receptacles, and then come back for next year's budget. We'll carry over whatever's left, come back for next year for the entire budget of what's needed to do it right, finish it right. Because you can't nickel and dime these guys and say, take this out, because then you got to rebid it, because then it's not substantially the same bid document.
I guess I'd like to finish talking to Glenn and finding out, is the trail in or out?
I believe it is. If you look at line 18, is asphalt pavement, and I believe the asphalt pavement is the trail.
All right. So is there, you brought it down, it says the project, 50 cent, bring it down to 360,000, and you want 424,000.
So that line says that the plus or minus 15%, you could go as low as 360 and not significantly change the project. So you still need to come up with 60,000 and some change above the $300,000 budget.
Wow.
Otherwise,
I cannot believe how much time and effort has gone into this. But it just seems like we can't make any ground on this park at all. Did you try to come up with the financial resolution to this prior? I mean, this is the first I've even heard about this, and I know how hard Grave has worked and how many meetings and...
It was discussed last week, and basically there is no funding is what I was told. So unless we could find the funding, and I'm not sure where to find the funding.
Okay, well, I'm going to let someone else be the one to reject all the bids. I never wanted this big park to begin with. I never wanted to add all the pickleballs and all of this other stuff. I basically wanted the trailhead, not the parking lot, and I want the landscaping in and the trash and benches, like every other park. So... But I know how many promises were made to the pickleball people, and I know the park commission is going to be really disappointed. So I'm going to let somebody else reject all of that, because I'm not going to be the one to kill the pickleball courts this year.
Alderman Hanneman.
Thank you. My main concern in that proposed motion is if in rejecting these bids, and we do a bare minimum to get the grass and whatever done, what happens to that $141,000 in impact fees? And my question would be to the director of finance, Mr. Rotzenberg, where does that put us? Are we back in double jeopardy with our impact fees if that's not spent this year?
Just impact fees at the end of December of 2020 were accommodated relative to the spending period through the middle of 2021-22. We haven't looked at that in since December because we've been working on closing out the year end. So it certainly this is the largest park project we had planned for this year, but there clearly is not enough appropriations to deal with this particular bid, so I don't know how the council can award the contract without the appropriate appropriations.
Well, I will make the motion to reject all bids.
Second.
All right, we'll have two motions then. Any discussion of the motion to reject? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. The additional bid... or the additional motion?
So the alternative is to rebid the project with the trail, the items needed for the lawn, and the trash containers. Unless you want to do that separate.
May I suggest we just try to assemble a project that's less than your budget? So, for example, maybe the volleyball courts, maybe something the Parks Commission may want to give up, some of those kinds of things.
Okay, just as long as the bid comes back with the lawn, the trail, and obviously you have to redo that sidewalk by the building, which is all messed up, and the pickleball courts are already a disaster, the tennis courts that are there. So you're going to have to at least fix those, even if you don't put the other ones in. So, yeah. And that's, and if you do, I don't care about the extra on the parking lot. It right now, it's not being fully utilized anyway, so you can do that next year.
Okay, so right. let me offer this. Motion to direct staff to... I'm going to take some time off of this.
Work with the Parks Commission.
Motion to direct staff to rebid with the minimums that Alderman Wilhelm just said and any logical additions by staff so that it can come back at bids less than budget.
So moved.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
So moved.
Alderman Wilhelm made the motion. Alderman Barber seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. G8, change order number one to DF Tomasini in the amount of $103,348. Is there a motion to approve?
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm, push your button.
We added the water on 49th Street was part of this, and that wasn't previously discussed. So we have an owner that's put a significant amount of money into an iron curtain that had just moved in. And I guess I would like to make sure that we're doing better notifications up front, because there's never discussion about anything on 49th Street in, for years.
And so. 49th is not part of this. I'm sorry.
It is.
I was thinking 50th Street. I'm sorry, your question regarding 49th Street?
You're having them add a new water main down 49th Street and put it to the houses that aren't part of the project. And the people got letters about that. And that was something this council had never talked about in the last couple of years. So you have another section coming up for 50th Street. Will there be another change order for the 50th Street?
I would suggest to you that we'll do 50th Street next year.
Okay, how is that going to affect their development, since how they need that section?
It accommodates that. We've had that discussion. Okay. I'm planning to put 50th Street in the budget for next year. As far as the 49th Street, actually, they're fronting Marquette, so when a water main runs past their house, it's always been common council's practice to either, well, one, you can make a decision not to assess, but with the absence of that, we assess for improvements.
Those property owners on 49th aren't going to be assessed, right?
When you say 49th Street, but I'm only assessing the ones who would access adjacent to the water main. So I believe the only properties we're looking at are adjacent to Marquette. We have to go a little bit north to tie in the water main, but I don't believe it connects.
The ones on 49th Street, there was a pre-agreement to put Habowitz is coming from 50th Street from the backyard. I understand that city would prefer all water mains to be in the right of way. That makes sense. So at some point, somebody changed it and put water down 49th Street, and now it's going to existing homes underneath the road who have got, all those people have gotten letters. And I don't know if they're going to be assessed or not. I'm thinking not, but that's a change that is an unknown at this point.
I'm not certain who sent out letters. I don't believe the water connection is that far north of the intersection of Marquette Street. I could be mistaken on that, but I don't think it goes very far.
It's going all the way down 49th Street, all the way to Carmen's home, who used to work in Sandy's office, is an existing home, and that place, that home has a new homeowner who just spent a significant amount of money. It's fine, but there was no discussion about assessment. It sounds like you're going to make the developer pay for it. It's something new that was added. But I'm talking about better coordination with notification on those issues, especially we might have the same thing on 50th Street.
So I'm not sure about 49th Street. I know we didn't send out letters, so I'm not sure who sent out letters to
the property. The write-up said that staff directed Matt engineering company to send the letters out, and the letters were sent, they were okay. In the email documents that went to everybody on the email list, and I happened to open them up one night, and there was a letter to several people that aren't even involved in the project, and it's asking them where they want to put a stake in their yard to stub the water.
I'll have to check that out tomorrow. I'm not aware of that.
Okay. And then on the next one, you have a change in the plans for water main connections, which is, that's one of them that they're paying for. And then you have a relay of an existing storm sewer. Where is that? What existing storm sewer is being relayed that they're paying for? Someone's paying for. I don't know, city. I don't know who's paying for it.
I believe this is a culvert storm pipe situation in, adjacent to 51st Street. Or this may be referring to the fact that the original plans had drainage flowing both directions. The single developer is developing phase one only, so he had to redirect the storm drainage. So I'm not sure with that description how that's referring to.
I was just looking on, it says on page 110, storm sewer, $12,576 includes the relay of an existing storm sewer.
I believe that's adjacent to 51st Street.
Okay. I guess that would make sense because that kind of crosses there. And now we already put a resolution forward for Lynch to do the inspection, and now this changes that previous agreement with Lynch.
Right. I plan to come back with a deduction in Lynch's contract.
And they're okay with that?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So that'll take care of some of it. Now, item 13, which is the construction specification changes, are all of those new changes we put in going to apply to this subdivision now that this one's going to be delayed another month?
I'm sorry, you said item 13?
Item 13 in the council packet is construction specification changes.
Oh, okay.
Is that then going to be applied to all of this? Or are we beyond that point? Or
Much like the retroactive discussion a while ago, I don't think it would retroactively apply to projects.
My concern is we have new specs, and then they come in and they're not... Somebody decides that they're, oh, you don't have it done yet, and then you start throwing new specs, and we've already delayed this quite a bit. So
when I read through 13, I don't think I saw anything that would modify this project.
I guess I would like you to tell me, no, Kristen, item 13 will not delay this project. None of those spec changes
no,
will
these
cost
will not
any
delay
more
the project.
Increases or change the specifications.
We'll deal with 13 on 13.
Right, but it affects how I vote on this one if... The answer is so. So now we have another month delay on this. Are you expecting any more delays?
The only delay per se is the fact that not all of the permits have been acquired by the developer, and they're still working on those. And we know that they're diligently working on them. So we want to delay the final completion. We're okay with that. It doesn't affect the opening the school, so we're trying to work with the developer and be as cooperative as we can.
That's great. And I understand some of the delays were caused by additions that weren't going to be done before, like they had to design 50th Street for the city, that they were working on that, and they demanded that they didn't want that to delay it, and now this 49th Street was a new change too. So I'd just like to move forward with Marquette. Some of these changes have nothing to do with Marquette, and that was the goal, is just to get Marquette in. I'm going to hope that we're finally moving forward with this and make the motion to adopt the resolution for the change order for the construction of the 2020 Marquette Avenue Road in the amount of $103,348.82 with various fees paid by... the contractor in the city.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dandrea. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G9, Common Council Administrative Policies and Procedures. Alderman Welch.
Okay, so I had written a little bit more detail in my email that at the board of the library board, we were discussing updating policies, and I thought, oh, well, you know, that's kind of something that is normally done. I know I've sat on different boards and commissions, and we look at updating policies. And I realize we have a book in the alderman's room that has quite a few of policies. And so those are listed. The clerk put together a nice list of what she had available. And if you look through those, some of those are obviously administrative, and some of those are strictly council and how the council works. And I thought it was important that the first step would be to divide those laws out between the policies that are administrative and the policies that are council. And then I wanted to look at should we keep them, should we change them, but then I realized none of these policies are online. So Because the elected are accountable to work for the citizens, according to the flow chart, I thought, well, before we change policies that aren't published, maybe we should publish them first, just the ones pertaining to the council. And once they're publicly available, then we could perform our review and input, so we are working in an open and public manner. And then I think that having these will help clarify and unify the council. And I think that just having everyone out there, you know, the first step in following the laws is knowing the laws and being accountable to the public. So my motion, but I guess I'd like to hear other opinions. My motion was going to be to just place those policies on the website for now, and then we can bring them back at certain times and look at them. But any other ideas? That's all I really wanted to do at this point.
Alderman Lawson, push your button.
Looking at some of these points and trying to put something together that's specific to council members to try to streamline things so you kind of have more of an understanding. You know, I always like to refer to when I had the opportunity to sit down with our city attorney and learn the do's, don'ts. That's all wonderfulness. You know, there's other areas that actually have common councils have handbooks, and perhaps the development of a handbook. In these handbooks, it kind of lays out the things that we should be aware of because it's the things that we encounter. It kind of helps you understand how those things are. And in the handbook that I saw and was made privy to is also has an ethics component. So if we wish to make this kind of inclusive document and put things as transparent as we can and available online, I think there's some merit to what Alderman Wilhelm's bringing forward here, and I would like to see maybe if we're going to go forward, maybe a little more thought and perhaps, and it's a lot of work. There's no question about it. This is not going to be fun, but I think the end result will be something very useful for the city as a whole moving forward.
Alderman Barber.
Before moving forward and publishing it, I'd like to just kind of get an understanding of why it needs to change or what it's all about before anything else would happen. So I guess I'm not in favor of moving forward with publishing this at this point till we as a council have had a chance to look at these and figure out which way we want them to go.
Alderman Dandrea.
I'm a little confused by this and publishing right now when we just had a counselor here that spoke to us about ethics, and I thought that there was a direction that staff was going to be going toward that was going to be presenting some to us within a near future, that a lot of this on here could be encompassed. So I'm not quite sure. This is confusing to a recommendation that was made about a month ago that is going to entail quite a bit of these points here. So we want to make changes, but let's wait for the staff that's working on it to present their package to us before we just go ahead and do something. That's my thought. That's what I recall, Mr. Mayor. So maybe you can let me know if my thoughts are wrong.
Well, there was significant conversation both in closed session and otherwise about revising the policies for the Common Council. There are two documents in the hands of staff at the moment that do just that. One of them is a code of conduct. The other one is a guideline on operations. The intention always was to have a Committee of the Whole on the 19th. I don't think I've been very secretive about that. And that's the intended date that we would present you those two or make it one document. I don't, doesn't matter to me, but that's when we would do that. Now, as for what we have in front of us, if anyone's taking notes, we currently do at least a variation, if not the entire policy, on vacation leave time notice, notification of aldermen on development activities, common council confirmation of appointments, city newsletter article insertion policies. We do the policy on inclusion of documents for agenda items, kinda. We do the voucher payroll the voucher payment approval policy, and we do the qualification determination volunteers. So most of the ones that are not currently being followed are a cell phone policy from 18 years ago, and a data processing policy 18 years ago, conference and seminar attendance, follow-up summary report that was never implemented.
Yes, it was. I had to do one.
And the annual review of department heads, that changes based on whoever the mayor is. So, Alderman Wilhelm, I'm sorry, let's do Alderman Hanneman first. Push your button, Sherry.
Thank you. I was just going to say that my recollection is the same as Alderman Dandrea's, that this was going to come back to us as something from staff with recommendations, basically starting at square one from this.
Okay.
So I can wait until the 19th if there's something going to be presented there.
Alderman.
Well, I think we're all afraid of something. I'm not really sure what we're afraid of. My idea is we have laws. These are the laws in our books. And I didn't say most of the ones. City Attorney, could you clarify if these are laws that are adopted and in place?
Just going. All I had in the council packet was a list of these policies. Mm-hmm. And, those occurred at the turn of the century, and they're administrative policies, they're not laws.
Okay, so, but they were adopted by the council, and until they're changed, they're.
I don't know if they were. My recollection,
well,
I saw the agenda item, was that the then relatively new administrator started this policy creation review, et cetera.
Okay. So what we have here is, with the exception of one that says it wasn't approved, and I've looked through these, as far as I know, they all have a mayoral signature and they all have votes on them in the council, and they're in the council room.
I'm looking. Second one, mayoral directive. Third one,
Mayor, you've taken the floor from me because could I finish my train of thought, please?
Well, certainly, but you just said something that was patently incorrect.
Well, that's because you're looking at the administrative, and I'm not asking. I ask her to put in what is listed, but I am not asking to publish or do anything with the administrative policies that apply to administration. I'm asking for the ones who apply to the Common Council only. So when you talk about a vacation leave pay, that's administration. Cell phone use policy, that's administration. Data processing procedures, administration. But when you talk about Common Council confirmation of appointments and alderman notification on seminars, those pertain directly to our job as a Common Council. They are already adopted by the Common Council, and because they are, I don't understand. We have a book in the Alderman's room, but they're not allowed to be shown anywhere else. Is that what I'm hearing? Nobody wants to have those published. And that's what I was asking, to just publish the ones on the city's website so they're public. If you have laws that are public. Now, I do like the suggestion that Alderman Nelson made about a handbook. because the alderman's procedures are in three places in the city of Franklin. They are in a binder unknown to any constituents in the council's room. They're not made public. They are in the municipal code, which is great because that is online. There are a lot of things in this league handbook for municipal officials. This is good. There are also state laws on how aldermen and poli should go. So I really like the idea of us having a common council guidebook. So we're all on the same page. And we insert the policies that apply to the common council into the handbook. And every municipality that I could find has a handbook or at least the policies that guide them in a, online, and some of them are in a handbook and online. So we seem to be afraid of something that everybody else is already doing. So I did look at many different ones, and I didn't really bring up the handbook because I was just looking at, well, why don't we just post these and then work through them? So the way the council is set up, we have a, there's called a mayor administration form of government, and we have a mayor council form of government. In both of those instances, the legislative body is the common council. So while staff can bring forward policies, and that's great, just like we had tonight, we are the policymakers, the city. We are the ones that adopt or not. If, like, the ordinance might not have passed, even though it was a staff ordinance. So I think that having staff do the council's policies for us is great. I'm not sure how long that's going to take, but I think that it would be really helpful if we all just had knew all the guidelines and knew all the rules. You can't hold someone accountable for something that's not available. So all I wanted to do was just make a motion to put the current policies that pertain to the council underneath where the council is, some kind of link. And as far as I could see, there wasn't anything wrong with them. I didn't see where anything really needed to be changed. I wasn't objecting to any of them. But I'm thinking, why not publish those so we all have a reference? I think the handbook reference guide is even a better idea, because then you could have the reference with them in there. And I know that Alderwoman Hanneman, she specifically didn't really like the ethics portion where Alderman Else was going because of some financial things. And I guess I don't disagree with her on that. This would be a chance to add to your list of accomplishments. And I'd be happy to work together to create an outline for a handbook that could come back for the Committee of the Whole. Is that something that you and I could work together, since there's a council handbook that would be all inclusive? We could look at several of them and bring something into the Committee of the Whole, if you want to wait to the Committee of the Whole anyway.
Mr. Mayor.
Alderman Barber.
I would like to see us as a Committee of the Whole back up and look at whether any of this needs to change, whether any of it needs to, rather than publish something that might be changed or is going to be changed by virtue of the previous action with the that the administrator is working on now. I don't see any reason to publish them until we've gone through those steps as a process. And I guess I would feel that the council should come up with what the rules are and not some individuals. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm just thinking that there seems to be a rush to put this out on the webpage for some reason. I think a lot of it's going to be changed.
Alderman Hanneman.
Yeah, and I'm happy to respond to that. And I think I'm hearing we're all talking about the same thing, maybe in very, very different ways. I have no fear of anything being made public, but to Alderman Barber's point, does it ultimately cause confusion for folks if we put something out there that is ultimately going to be changed or updated? And I am happy to work on a handbook. I think that's a fabulous idea.
Great.
But I think we all work on that. It's not just one or two people necessarily, but I think we do take professional guidance and best practices that are brought to us from administration. You know, look at ideas, what are happening in other communities. I mean, I think it's a fabulous idea. And maybe as we bring those components forward, and discuss them in on the record in the public meetings, you know, that way we can say this is where it's an improvement over what we had before. And maybe not putting, I don't know, I'm strongly cautioned at wanting to publish it at this point in time because it is so old, because we haven't had a refresher on it. Again, I'm not afraid of anything. But maybe we haven't been using it to the best of our ability. We can always do better. And I hear that's the goal of everybody sitting up here. Mm-hmm. And so I am fully on board with that. Thanks.
Well, every single law in our municipal code and our UDO is subject to change, and it's printed already. So to say we can't have these other policies out there because they might change doesn't fall in line with every city ordinance or law that we have. So I just we're the kind of fear to have these available so people know that what they are. If we're saying that we all need to know what they are and know if they need to change, then that tells me the council's not even sure about the alderman handbook or the one that exists in the council room. If we all don't know what they are already, we should. That's too bad that it's been in there that many years and we've all been up here for several terms now. We should know what's in there. And if we don't know what's in there, we better get to know it because those are what we're supposed to do. And if we do know they're there and no one has brought anything forward to change it, it tells me that they aren't that scary. So we should just have them available as a reference. Instead, I can't reference the book in the alderman's room when I'm at home. I can't pull up a policy. It's not online. It's not electronic. So it would be really nice to have all of these things that we're supposed to be applying in one place in a nice handy document. And I really appreciate that you would be willing to bring and work on. I'd like to go through several different municipalities and find a really good handbook for elected officials and come in with a list. So I'm just going to make a motion to allow Alderman Hanneman and I to put together some type of a list based on what's out there and have it ready for the Common Council, or at the Committee of the Whole, when we discuss it. So we have a visual to look at. That's my motion.
Is there a second? Is there a second to that motion?
Second. Did you want a second? Since you're involved, I'm going to set something
with you. Hold on. All right. It's been seconded by Alderman Nelson. Push your button. If you want to talk.
I guess I remain confused in terms of what exactly you're asking us to do, because what I've heard from the mayor is that staff is bringing something to us,
a handbook,
at the Committee of the Whole on policies on the 19th. And so my preference would be to discuss this more in depth at that Committee of the Whole meeting and see exactly what is needed. And I'm happy to make lists and thoughts on that in the meantime, but in terms of taking any action to be brought forward at the 19th, from us, I want to make sure we're not working. I'd prefer to take what staff is going to present, and then we can work on it, rather than us bringing something and then having staff present something, and then it's a different direction than what we've worked on. Does that make sense? I'd rather see a motion like this made at that point in time in the future.
Can I respond? Well, the thing is, if we don't have some idea and presented when we come to the committee of the whole, and all we do is take completely staff suggestions, the alderman ability to have a possibly really good handbook for all of us to be on the same page that works well for us. Every department has policies and handbooks, and I mean, why wouldn't we want a handbook for us to follow?
We do.
And so my thought is, what you and I would do is not set any policies, even though we have the ability to do that because we're aldermen, and not make any firm things, but for us to look at, it would be something like this, but I'm sure it's only about this thick because it's just for aldermen. And we would just look at the different index about what typically is included in a handbook, and we would bring like 2 or 3 pages of a handbook suggested forward on how it could be laid out. And with you having your input and my having my, I think we kind of have a split council here. I think you would be representing, you know, well, we do, but because I'm just seeing on the conversation going right now. So that's what I'm asking. My motion as it stands is asking if you'll work with me to come put together like just an index of a handbook. Is that something you would be willing to do?
Can we have a little more discussion on this?
Okay. One of the things.
Well, I could ask Nelson to do it. I just figured. I wanted to work with you on it, so that's all.
One of the things it says in that handbook is that all discussions are directed to the chair and no cross discussions at the council chair.
Well, I asked her if you could respond.
I'm okay. But my point is this. There is a handbook for aldermen. What's not in there is specific guidelines relative to how we work. And if you'll wait until, this motion doesn't mean much to me, but on the 19th, you'll have something that you can sink your teeth into. Alderman Mayor.
First off, I'm not willing, unless Alderwoman Hanneman is 100% behind this motion, I'm not willing to railroad her into a motion that she's kind of half-hearted on here. Number one. Number two, what's Peggy going to bring us in 2 weeks? I think that's where the discussion maybe should start. And I think a handbook's a great idea, and it should consolidate all the necessary information for us. But we need to start somewhere. And I think we're kind of on a parallel course here. We're trying to do something here that maybe might be bringing to us in 2 weeks. Let's talk Peggy in 2 weeks, see where that's at, and bring this all back and bring this whole discussion to the forefront and go from there. I think we're putting the cart before the horse here to some extent.
Okay.
Okay, then I can change my motion.
Okay, give me 1 second here. Here's what's going to happen on my end. Wednesday, we'll order a handbook for municipal officials for each one of you that will be assigned to the district, not to you. Okay? So when you guys leave office, you put it back in the spot, but it'll be for your district. I said earlier in this agenda item what the two items were that staff is now working on. One is a code of conduct, and the other one is essentially an operating procedures for the Common Council, which is 7 of them, not 6. So that's what's going to be presented to you on the 19th, and of course it's the committee of the whole, so we can talk about whatever you want. So Alderman Wilhelm.
Okay, so you have to before I withdraw it, because my motion was simply just to post the existing policies already up on the website. That was it.
No.
So. What was my motion then?
It was to direct that Alderwoman Hanneman and Alderwoman Wilhelm
work together to return to the Common Council or to the Committee of the Whole with a proposed index of a Common Council policies and procedures manual.
Okay, well, the first motion that I said before I said I wanted.
I'm sorry, can you press the button again?
My first suggestion before everybody had a conversation was simply to place the current items pertaining to the council that were not listed in the municipal code or the UDO online. That was going to be my initial motion. And then it got on to all this other stuff about, you know, but that was all I really wanted to do was just take the current ones we haven't published on. Now, it seems like nobody wants to really do that because they say they're all going to change. We don't know they're going to change, but maybe that's the plan. Maybe somebody has a greater plan to change all the past ones and set us on a different course of how we've been functioning. I don't know. But then the second motion was to see if Alderman Hanneman would work together to come up with an index because the mayor's not providing that the staff does any kind of handbook index. And the handbook idea was brought up because Alderman Nelson had mentioned the handbook. So, and I like that idea. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense that we should all have a handbook. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to have staff working on our own policies that govern ourselves, when the administration has their own policies to deal with, and we set the council policies, I would like to see us bring forward a draft of how a handbook could look and be laid out so it can be part of the discussion. Now, my thought of changing my motion is to direct staff to do that. But if no one wants to assist, I'll just do it myself. It's not that difficult. I mean, you go online, you find a couple of them, you go, oh, these all make sense, and you print them off, and then that's it. And I just thought I wanted to get Alderman Hanneman's input because she might like some of them that I like, and she, you know, she might not. And I thought, what nice way to bring a nice consensus list together that shows a handbook on where we could all come together, we could all understand what the rules and policies are, so we can function better. I mean, that was the only, what I'm only trying to do is help us function better. And I think a handbook really would be a great way to do that.
Okay. Agreed. Again. However, number one, I believe you and I could work sidebar on this mm-hmm. without a motion, without violating any open meetings laws, that we could bring back some suggestions at that time. Because I feel that what's on our council action sheet is not a motion for a handbook, but rather a review of previous policies and procedures, which in my mind would also mean that we would have all of the verbiage here of the policies and procedures to review at this point in time, which we don't. So we kind of can't do that right now. But I am happy to work. Sidebar offline, but I personally would like to see what staff and the proceedings of the Committee of the Whole meeting on the 19th produce first.
You will all get a copy of this tomorrow in your boxes. I will make the photocopy myself. I don't know why it's a big deal. It's sitting on the shelf, but
I know that's why I don't understand why it's not a big deal.
Okay.
To put it online.
On the motion, so Madam Clerk, please read it back. Twice. Yeah.
Well, if the motion is for Alderman Hanneman and I, and she's not willing to do it, I'll just withdraw my motion, and we can work together without
and
a motion, rather than having it fail.
And so, as you'll see.
Alderman Nelson.
As you see in that book, it will say that once a motion is made and seconded, it belongs to the body. So, Alderman Wilhelm requests to remove, to withdraw her motion. Any objections to that request?
Seeing none, the motion is withdrawn.
Okay, then I'd like to make a motion to move to place the current pertaining council-related policies not listed in the municipal code and the ordinance online.
Is there a second to that? Okay. The mayor and staff would like to know which ones you feel are that and why you would want to put an 18-year-old policy online.
Because they're still what we're supposed to be doing, and I want them available as a reference.
You'll have a copy in your box tomorrow. Which ones do you want posted?
Request for information for elected officials, alderman notification on seminars, notification to aldermen on the city development activities complaints, council appointments, confirmations. I guess the newsletter one is not adopted yet. Inclusion of the documents for city meetings. And probably qualifications for volunteers, because we are actually the ones that approve those, so that kind of pertains pretty heavily to the council. And that would be it.
Is there a second to that motion?
There was a second.
There was, okay.
Yep.
Okay, and then I'm going to ask that HR tracks the activities on these pages. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk.
All right. Alderman Dandrea.
No.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
No.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye. Motion carries. 4 ayes, 2 noes. No absent, no abstentions.
May I have a question about what was your comment that you're going to ask staff to do with track?
Keep track of how many hits on those pages get. Because here again, we're going to put up 18-year-old policies, some of which are not being currently implemented by either the council or our staff. And it's probably going to be half hour of staff time to do this, and if nobody's going to look at it and you just want it for you, I'll give you a copy so you can have it.
No, that's not what it's about.
So who's going to look at it?
The public should have access to it, Mayor. They really should. I mean, why wouldn't we just want to be open? I mean, it's supposed to be open government, so just be open about it.
That's all fine and good, but it's an 18-year-old policy that's going to be discussed in 2 weeks. So, okay, but the motion carries, so it doesn't matter. Okay, next item. If you guys haven't gotten it, there'll be a committee of the whole on the 19th to discuss council.
It's on the city's calendar already.
Council procedures and code of conduct. G10 is an application for Bloomberg Philanthropies Asphalt Art Initiative Program. And when I forwarded this to the city engineer, I did it with my tongue in cheek, but here it is, Mr. City Engineer.
So Board of Public Works has actually been discussing some low cost ways to slow traffic down. And we are looking at implementing 5 issues. Basically, for the most part, it's painting on the roadways, various things. When the mayor forwarded this to me, quite honestly, I'd already deleted my email, but I said, well, maybe this is a good idea. So we talked about Board of Public Works. Board of Public Works thought it would be a good idea to offer it to the school, where every school could paint something in front of their school, kind of as a school spirit thing. We went to the school, so that was their recommendation. But to apply for it, I need your permission. Went to the school. They were only interested and even semi-interested in doing in front of the high school on 51st Street. Just one location. And so I guess I, when I wrote this council action, I was proposing to you that for if you should desire, the city should submit for this. I need to know what locations, and then we'll talk about it, Board of Public Works. In addition, Friday afternoon, I sent to you some correspondence. I've been doing a lot of research on painting in the streets as far as what it's worth. And I forwarded something from Oklahoma City. They did not have very good luck with it. In fact, the paint didn't last over the winter, and they found no reduction in speed at all. So I guess I lay this before you because I still have to take it back to the Board of Public Works and talk about it further. Do you or do you not wish to submit for this? And if you do, I'm not opposed to it. I just need to know that so we can discuss it further at Board of Public Works.
Glenn, so, can you repeat that item that you just made there, the research part of it?
The Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Oklahoma City did two intersections, and they spent like $7,000 a piece to paint these intersections. They painted it in the fall. Less than 5 months later, you could barely see the paint, so maybe they didn't use very good paint. For $7,000, I would have thought they would have used better paint. But regardless, they found that it had zero effect on slowing traffic down. But so there may be other reasons why you'd want to do it, but you know, for community participation and so forth. But I put this before you.
So when we were doing the roundabout, I asked the school district if they would like to do something in the center of the roundabout. And at the time, they said no, because it was so controversial. They may want to do something again, even after this. But the question is, so council authorizes you to go for the grant. You get the grant. We don't do anything. Then what? How do you send the money back? Or well, you don't do them as much as the grant permits?
I believe the grant would reimburse us, so we would have to make an appropriation, spend money, then request a grant.
Push your button on.
Well, I'm taking the Oklahoma email that you sent to heart because I really don't think it's going to last. The other thing I have is distraction. It seems like it's a distraction. People will be looking down at the road instead of paying attention to the traffic. I have a concern about that. The third thing I have is instead of going in an area that has not had a lot of known requests, the area by Glen Meadows Park, that guy over there has been hounding for, and he's been before the Public Works, for some type of speed control. So I would just ask that you look at some of the places where you've already had many speed complaints and maybe take some of those into consideration. I would really like to solve that speeding over by Glen Meadows. They didn't want to do speed bumps, but I like the idea. It's creative. But I did take a little bit of time to look at the grant. There are many more ideas than painting murals within that grant. And I think if the Public Works is going to take this out, they should really get to know that grant and maybe take on something else other than painting on the street.
But I'd like some suggestions. I guess that when I looked at the grant, there were things like painting under bridges. We don't tend to have many of those, and they don't belong to us anyway. And other public spaces, we don't have a downtown area, those kinds of things. So we don't have medians that would require painting. So I'm open to suggestions.
Well, I don't have another ability to take on another project because I will be looking at a handbook for some items. But typically I would throw my assistance because I do write grants, but I'm going to leave this up to Board of Public Works. If there's enough people on there, they can read as well as I can. So I'm just going to back off of that, and whoever wants to take this on can take it. I'm concerned we can't even get the garbage cans over at Pleasant View, and we're going to tie DPW up on, painting something that hasn't proven to be very successful. And I think there's better use of the time. So
for the record, I don't think tonight, Glenn.
I guess I'm okay either way, but it wouldn't hurt my feelings if you said, no, let's not do this, and I'll take that back to Board of Public Works.
Is there a motion regarding this matter?
I move option B, instruct staff to not submit a grant application.
Okay, we could have just done nothing, but that's fine. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And for the record, there is not a single street in this city that does not have a speeding problem. So if any of you feel very special and think you are special about that, I got news for you. You ain't.
Our constituents do, though.
Well, I got news for you. G11, the resolution to sign an intergovernmental cooperation agreement with Village Hills Corners. I'll do this real quickly. They're going to repave College Avenue, and they neglected to tell us that we have a little portion of College Avenue. They want to get reimbursed for it this year in 30 days. We're not going to do that. So they suggest a budget of 24 grand for next year, Mr. City Attorney.
Only that I am the village attorney for the Village of Hales Corners. I did not see this item until I looked at the draft council agenda on Friday. I did get an email from the Hales Corners engineer, I think it was the day before, mentioning in the subject an ICA, which I assumed was going to be for some future meeting because there was no village meeting scheduled this week. So I'm working around the clock. I did not open that yet. So in any event, content-wise, city engineer is negotiating the entirety of the content with the Hales Corners village engineer based on what I've read in his action sheet, et cetera. And all the village attorney or city attorney does is sign off as approved as to form. So since this...
Mr. City Attorney, there is no conflict here.
Well, I would request to add to the motion and to authorize the mayor to sign a conflict of interest informed consent letter regarding what I just stated on the record, which if I would have known about it earlier, I would have provided that on the agenda here.
Okay. Mr. Ratzenberg's raising his hand, and he's going to... you made the motion.
I did make the motion.
That said? I was busy about this.
To have you write the letter on the conflict issue.
And to enter the agreement?
Sure.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
All right. Now, Mr. Ratzenberg is going to tell you we don't have any money for this until next year, and next year's budget isn't done. Mr. Ratzenberg.
Mr. Mayor, if the city would sign the draft agreement accept the draft agreement that's before you this evening, financial accounting requirements would then require that I record the expenditure this year, because the work would be done this year and it would become a liability of the city at that point, regardless of the fact that the intergovernmental agreement calls for payment at some future point in time. It's a liability of the city and would require an appropriation this year. The only appropriation available for this would be in either the capital improvement fund out of contingency or the street improvement fund if there were unused monies from the street improvement program, which has not been brought back before you yet. So I would caution the council to accept the intergovernmental agreement as drafted, because if the work were done this year, you would need an appropriation to use, and you would be effectively using contingency in the capital improvement fund.
I'll withdraw my second.
Okay. Let me do this first. I don't have an issue with what Paul just said. I mean, it's perfect accounting sense. We've got money in contingency, 24 grand. We can just look at the city engineer and say, we're taking 24 from the road improvement fund. And then if the bids come in lower than that, we're good. If they come in higher than that, we're going to cut a street, and it's going to be somebody's street. So we can figure this out, but not this week, but it'll be when it comes back with the road improvement. So how about this? I'll call the village president and tell him he's out of his mind. We're not doing this in 30 days. We'll get him an answer here in the next couple of days, but somehow we'll get him his money. Go do the work. We'll pay you back. So
are you withdrawing the motion, or is it dying to go back for the second?
No, it sounds like the mayor can take care of it, and so I would still need a second to the motion.
Well, let's do this the way the book says, right? Mm-hmm. It's become the body.
Right.
There's been a request to withdraw a second. Is there any objection to that request? Seeing none, the second is withdrawn. The motion dies. Do you like a second?
Well, unless someone wants to make a second to it.
Let's just kill it.
Oh, you want me to withdraw, is what you're saying.
I'm just saying.
That's fine.
The second's gone, so there is no motion.
I thought we handled it by, you know, saying that we could find the money in the budget and you were going to take care of it and you didn't have a problem, so I misunderstood that, but I'll withdraw it.
No, I'm going to call and tell the village president that he's out of his mind. Dan and I are good friends. It's okay. For those of you watching at home, I'm not going to tell him he's out of his mind.
Okay.
I might, but he'll understand, okay? So no letters and cards. No emails, no picket signs. We'll take care of it. We'll have I'll have an update for you at the next meeting. Is that okay, Glenn?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Killed that one. G12, transfer of a We Energies bridge to the city of Franklin, which made me real happy. Mr. City Engineer.
So we were notified last fall that We Energies plans to remove a bridge that we currently have a trail over. So we've been working feverishly trying to figure out how to accommodate that work. Credit to Kevin Schleter. He said, why don't we just take over the bridge? The bridge, there are some parts that don't look very nice, but they're really not as bad as they look. So we had a consultant look at it. Second opinion, scratched the $20,000 in your council action in the analysis and put $50,000. He said, just to make sure that there's enough by the time you get into it. But basically, this could be put off to a future year. We would have a contractor go in, chisel off all the loose stuff, epoxy it, patch it up good as new. The only thing is we would make We Energies not drive over it. We could still use it for a trail. The heaviest thing we would have would be to plow snow off of it, and the bridge would be fine. So this would be a lot less expensive than some of the other alternatives we were looking at. It basically was not only a new bridge, but having to permit and do everything else. Saves We Energies a bunch of money, too, so it's a nice win-win.
Germane to the operation of the trail and it's a new acquisition, could park impact fees be used to improve that?
I don't believe so because it's not a new facility. It's an existing facility. It is new to us.
Okay, I tried. So,
all right. Alderman Wilhelm, and we do not have budget for this, right?
Correct, it's not budgeted. So this would be future years.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Is this a project yet? Because we haven't put the grant in yet, have we?
Grant for what?
Is this part of that trail?
That's no, this is, so if you see there's a location.
It's not my district, so I'm not familiar.
On 124 and 125, 126, there's a location map. So this is north of St. Martin's along Forest Home. There's an existing trail there.
Go to Rosie's house, turn north, go about 2,000 feet.
Okay.
It's on the left.
Behind Country Dale School.
Yeah. Okay.
But you got to stop at Rosie's house first.
This is the one that I was hoping we could get a back gate into the school to eliminate people walking on. So who is the structural engineer that looked at it and said it would be $20,000?
Yeah, we want his report.
So we had a consultant look at it who did a lot of work for us in the past. He's no longer working for himself. So $50,000 was by Foth, the Franklin engineering firm, and they felt that that would cover not only the work, but consulting and some other things that, and again, throw in some factors of safety.
Do we have a report from them?
No, we don't have a full report. We haven't paid anybody for a report.
Wait, what was that?
We have not done a full report, no.
Okay, so they just went out there, gratitude, didn't, no
charge? We sent him pictures and said, what should we budget? We'll look at it in the future. Okay. So,
but they are actual structural engineers, and they do bridges for a living.
Foth does actual bridges for a living, yes.
Okay. And did they charge us for that?
No, they have not charged us yet.
Okay. I went through this, as you know, Pleasant View Bridge and the Trail went through this process. In order for me to get that bridge looked at, it took an entire council motion and contract and all that. So I just, you know, I'm trying to follow similar policies that we do, and it's really hard to follow things because everything gets done differently, and I just So that's what I'm asking, is how we're doing things now, I guess. So.
Do you want me to answer that? We're doing things to get it done. That's how we're doing things. And if the council needs to be involved with money, then we do that. But yeah. Other than that, we're trying to get things done.
That's great. I'm just glad you answered my question.
This is Alderman Nelson's district, and he wants to speak. Well, push your button, John.
Mr. City Engineer, what is now knowing with some changes, what exactly are you looking for the motion that's in the best interest of the city?
So instruct staff to work with We Energies. We'll have to prepare some language documentation, some agreements that would transfer the ownership of the bridge to the city. But they didn't want to go through all that effort if you did not have the appetite to do so.
So are you looking at option A as an atom?
Yes, sir.
My motion is for A as an atom.
Discussion. And you and I work on this because I'm going to make some calls. We're going to get Wisconsin Electric to pay for this. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G13 is changes to the design standards for the city construction specs. I don't see any of these that are dramatic.
I don't believe
anybody
so,
have
sir.
Questions? I think if contracts have been issued or bids, I think if bids have been issued, we're done.
Yep.
So, no, if a bid has been issued, then that job is off the table and the old standards apply. So whoever makes the motion will add that to the motion. Who's going to make the motion? Any questions on this?
So move.
So your motion is to approve the changes, but exempt any job any project that's currently has been bid or bid documents have been released for.
Sure.
I'll second.
Made by Barber, seconded by Hanneman. Discussion? All those in, you're welcome, but it only makes sense. On top of that, it only makes sense. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G14, page 145, is request to participate in the state contract for purchase of 2,400 tons and additional 480 in reserve.
Second.
Mr. Otzenberg.
Mr. Mayor, just to remind you and the council that the original budget for SALT for 2021 was $178,800. The current request for 2,400 tons plus 480 tons would come to $223,257. You would effectively be using an additional $45,000 of your contingency, which is about a third of your current contingency, so approval of this would effectively use up a third of your general fund contingency.
Mr. City Engineer, are these prices based on a certain tonnage?
No, we can adjust the tonnage.
So the motion then would probably be most appropriate to expend the budget and let you figure out the tonnage. Unless the council wishes to spend contingency.
So the 178 number?
So there is a motion on the floor, is that correct? No, there is no motion.
Yeah, there is.
I thought there was.
Yes.
So the current motion is to go ahead and spend some contingency money, which will require a second motion. Alderman D'Andrea.
And
push your button. Mark, push your button.
Here, how was this year? Did we deplete our excess and, you know, salt supplies?
We did use quite a bit. I think we wrote that in here. Third paragraph.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, 2,400 tons.
So we used 550 tons. No, I take that back.
See, 2,400 tons at 75.52 is going to be 181,278. That's about $2,500 more.
And the reserve order is not something may I suggest that we could place an order for 480, but maybe we come back and talk to you before we actually place the order, because we don't have to take that reserve order.
Well, the problem is at 2,400 tons, you're still over budget. Plus,
yes,
we've got to account for the 40,000 that you spent on the...
Well, the 2,400 tons is 181, so it's slightly over. So I can reduce that to 178 or whatever the number was. Then 480, we'd like to have it available if need be, but we could decide later if we're actually going to take delivery.
We don't have to prepay for it?
That's a liability.
We will have to pay for it.
When you place the order and they take delivery at the dock, it becomes a city salt.
Yeah, it's a liability, and we don't have the budget for it.
Now, the reserve order is, we'd say, in the future, if we want it, we can make that order in the future. I guess what I'd like to say is...
We've done that every year that I've been around here, but it's still a liability.
Okay.
Well, as I misread this document, if I read this correctly, the city engineer is saying we've already used 40,000 of the current year budget by buying additional salt this year. So your budget this year is 178 less the 40, or 138,000.
Correct.
Which would be considerably less than 2,400 tons.
Yeah. So we only have 138,000 left.
Correct.
Which would be about 2,000 tons.
Yeah.
A ton. And we got the finance people running
the 1,825 tons.
That was close.
pray for a late winter next year.
Well, but our buy point right now is going to be cheaper than it's going to be if we run short because we've got a harsh winter.
Yes, sir.
So the choice is to have the city engineer go buy 1,800 tons and whistle Dixie for the additional, and then come back in December and say, we need to order this because it looks like a bad winter, at which time we'll have a better handle on what our budget's going to look like, but we're going to pay more for the salt.
And if there's supply. I mean, we'll get it, but that's the question mark. There may not be supply available.
You guys manage the money. All are doing well. I'll push your button.
Glenn, do we have anything left in storage?
We do have some left in storage.
What?
Should have about 500 tons. But that's well short of what we use every year.
Right. I'm just, in addition to what he purchases, is there something you feel like you can live with as far as a ton that can still stay within the budget?
This is one of those things we got to buy. Yeah, let's, is there a motion to table for 2 weeks?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
To make an order tomorrow.
Is there a motion? I'm sorry.
I'll just table
my motion. Any objections to withdrawing the motion?
So we received our notice early this year. Normally you could wait for another meeting, but we can't. I think actually the order needs to be made this week, if not tomorrow.
All right, Paul, where are we going to get the additional 50 grand?
Well, you do have it in contingency. You have $125,000 contingency in the general fund, so you could use a portion of that for some additional salt.
And, of course, that contingency is based on the 21 budget, not the contribution from the 2020 overrun.
Correct.
All right. I think it'd be okay to do the contingency.
Do the 2,400. Do the 2,100 and compromise on our average.
It's your decision. So I, where I sit in your position, I do the council action sheet.
Okay. Then well.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go for the additional 480.
Do what you want.
Then I'll make that motion to direct staff to participate in the state contract to purchase 2,400 tons of salt. Period. With the difference coming from our contingency.
All right.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Madam Director of Administration.
So the thing with the reserve is it's no shirt off our back if we take it, and we don't need it. It just guarantees the price. So by committing to that, yes, you would be committing to contingency use, but you don't have to take it.
You don't have to spend
it's
it.
Only but, if we need it.
But is it a liability that we have to account?
Only if we take it.
Only if we take it.
So the reserve, I mean, you could lower the amount that you're going to guarantee to take, and then you get 20% as the reserve, and you get to hedge yourself a little bit more.
I had conflicting information, so I hear from the city administrator, and then I heard comments from the mayor. So,
My comment came from a conversation earlier this evening about liabilities and contingent liabilities in the previous agenda item.
Correct.
Contingent liability meant you had to pay for it, or you had to account for it in your county.
In the earlier conversation, the city was committing to buy or pay for road work. In this case, the city is ordering on a contingency basis, and so if you don't take it, you don't own it.
Okay, then I'll amend my motion to include the additional 480 tons in reserve.
So your motion is to do as recommended on the council action sheet with a budget modification coming next meeting, or do it now?
A budget modification next week.
Okay. Everybody clear?
Mm-hmm. So that was an amended motion then? Because he said he's amending his motion.
I don't think it ever, it did get a second.
Yes, it did.
So that was approval of the second? Whoever seconded.
Barber.
Yes.
It's been okie dokie by Alderman Barber.
Clarification.
So
we're doing the same thing where we're actually confirming that everybody's okay with this amendment. And all that.
I just did that.
Okay.
So all those in favor of the motion to purchase 2,400 tons and a option on 480 more, and we'll return next meeting with a budget modification to account for the overage. All those in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. With that, move to H1 licenses. Alderman Nelson.
I'm going to yield to Alderwoman Hanneman.
I will take this tonight. Thank you.
Request for separate action on one of them.
Alderman, Mayor.
Well, there's two items in the ballpark commons. I have no issue with the second one, but I would like to take the first item regarding the fireworks separately.
Okay, we can do that.
Okay.
The recommendation on ballpark commons fireworks. Alderman Hanneman.
It was to approve, provided that they comply and meet all staff concerns. I have better wording here. That all staff concerns are satisfied, with the exception of games that would exceed 9 innings, in which 11 p.m. would be the end time for any fireworks, and that the Oak Leaf Trail is temporarily closed with a barricade with signage noting that there is a danger of fireworks that evening.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor of that motion signify. Well, let's just do a roll call.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
No.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Aye.
Motion carries. 5 ayes, 1 no, no absent, no abstentions. Alderman Nelson, or Alderman Hanneman.
Okay.
That's it for you, right? That's the only one.
The first item on the agenda, Narencar LLC, is approve. We've just done ballpark commons. Neighborhood 5K fun run is deleted. No action, no longer needed. Move the approval of Anglin, approval of Gutierrez, approval of Michaud, approval of Valadez Servin, recommend denial of Bogan new and Bogan renewal based on a falsification of record and habitual criminal activity substantially related to the license. move approval of Burby, Newell, and Renewal.
Second.
Okay. First of all, I compliment Alderman Hanneman. Usually a source of good-natured ribbing as the names are read off, and I think you did a stellar job for a change. Alderman, by the way, former Alderman Gardner used to get the biggest razzing. Madam Clerk. Oh, we don't need all those in favor, signify saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I-1, vouchers payroll. Is there a motion approving city vouchers ending date of April 1st in the amount of $1,553,465.94 and payroll dated March 26th in the amount of $391,038.79 and payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $420,523.93 plus city matching payments and estimated payroll for April 9th guessed at $396,000 and payments of the various payroll deductions estimated at $233,000 and city matching payments and property tax disbursements from the ending date of March 30th in the amount of $5,902,373.03.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye. Motion carries. 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. There are motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Barber,
second.
Wilhelm, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.